Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Monday. I got the crew assembled. The Avengers have all assembled back here in the comforts of the Tiki Room studio. Thank you to Brian for taking point last week while I was on a remote over at the Coronado Springs Tower over in Orlando. The Disney depression has set in, gentlemen. I got smacked with reality today. So
what happens after that is you plan another trip like a month out, so that way you don't even have to worry about it.
Let me tell you what's crazy is I didn't get to Disney depression this time. It's weird.
Well, that's because you got stuck at Disney too.
Yeah, you had like 3 days you weren't planning on.
That's true.
Exactly. That happened. Yeah, it was weird.
So welcome to Marvel Monday. I am the host, Mark Valentine, along with my co-host, Brian Lee of United We Fan, joined by super fans, Brian Ferguson from Mouse Ears and Magic, and the one and only, the Wolf of Walt Disney from the Wolf and Wookiee podcast. Gentlemen, as always, it's amazing to hang out with you guys every single week. This week was definitely no exception. Justin, what is up? Welcome to everyone who's here in the comments. Don't forget, guys, leave it. The biggest thing that you can do to help us out. Hey, Sam. The biggest thing that you could do to help us out is just click that share button on the stream, because what that does is it shares it with your friends. I mean, let's face it. Everybody right now is into WandaVision. I mean, it's blowing up, and for good reason. The show is amazing. It's amazing to think that this is the MCU's first television show over on Disney Plus. Like, I'm so in, I'm so invested, and all four of us guys, we talked about the depression. The depression is setting in for us, knowing that the show only has like 2 weeks left. Hey, Coach DeFranco is here. We only have like 2 weeks left, and I'm really sad. Derek from the Satisfactual Sign Company is here. Hey, Derek, what's going on? So, gentlemen. I mean, I don't want to take much time with the formalities here. We hang out all the time. We talk about this all the time. Let's get right into it and just get first reactions. And like, let's start with you, Ethan. We love the casual fans perspective. So as someone who's not gone deep into the comics, what did you think of this last episode?
I think this was the episode for me where all the talk, all the speculation, I thought was going to come to some type of head or fruition, and it didn't disappoint. I don't want to put that like into the universe right now. It didn't disappoint me, but there were portions of it where I wanted something just a little bit more, but instead I got something very exciting, you know. And I think that the way that they did this, and I'm not trying to get too far into it, but I think the way that they did this episode was very telling of how the story has gone so far. They've done a great job of building up these characters, and now you're sort of seeing behind the fourth wall almost in a way of what else is going on. And I've really enjoyed this episode, but again, was slightly disappointed that some of the stuff that we've been talking about and speculating just didn't happen.
So as a follow-up, I'm just really curious to know, are the payoffs paying off for you now at this point in the season, or are they falling flat? Have we built it up too much for you, the casual viewer, or is it living up to the hype?
I think it's living up to the hype. I think it's easy to watch, whether you're someone who's, you know, the super nerd, or there's the casual fan like myself who feels like a nerd because I'm, you know, trying so hard to dig into some of these theories, dig into some of these like contextual clues that I'm like, oh my God, am I digging too deep? Like, have I gone too far? So, you know, there's certain aspects of it that I really have. I haven't felt as though it fell flat. I have felt, and especially in this episode, that there were moments that just, I felt like something else was going to happen or someone else was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, that didn't happen, but this did. And that was sort of cool. And then something else. And it all sort of just begins to sort of pile up into this great show that we now talk about on a week-to-week basis. So
is of all the stuff that we speculated, is there something that you really wanted to come true? Like, were you wanting Mephisto? Were you wanting something?
Frankie's got it figured out. Sorry.
Show is different from what I thought, but that's what I love about it. Yeah, no, yeah, that's it. I think for me, I was really excited because I can remember sort of the first run at the Fantastic Four. And I thought, okay, like this would be a really cool segue into a universe that I sort of remember watching the first time that it came out when they first made that movie with Chris Evans and a couple of the others, but that didn't happen. And I sort of hoped that this was going to be the segue into that. I also sort of thought that maybe we would see a little bit more X-Men because we speculated about it so much. And, you know, that was something that we talked about a couple weeks ago, like, hey, like, you should maybe watch some of the X-Men stuff. So I don't know. Nothing about it has fallen flat. It's just a matter of not necessarily meeting the expectations that we sort of set as a group about what was going to happen. So that to me.
Yeah. And I want to concede too. So Brian, I'm going to owe you 10 bucks, dude. I'm going to lose. We're not getting Professor X. We're not getting any X-Men. I'm going to lose this week. This week I saw clearly I was going to lose that bet. I've lost that bet. We're not getting
I'm going to go on a small rant here in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, go ahead, everybody.
Brian from Mouse Ears and Magic, what your first thoughts? And I love that, Ethan. That was awesome, man. That was cool.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed this episode. This episode was my favorite by far. You get to see all the characters, you know, that we've been speculating about. We saw Dottie. She was flying around in a flower garden. And, you know, we've got a lot of speculations going in on that, on everybody, what they're doing. And to watch the episode from beginning to end, we all kind of knew what was going to happen. And part of what we knew was going to happen, happened. Mm-hmm. But the others, the speculations are still out there. So I love this episode. I loved it.
Brian, Brian and I were going back a lot on, we're walking around Hollywood Studios. I had only seen about half of the episode when we hung out.
That was so mean. Like, that was so mean, man.
So it was killing. It was killing him. It was killing him that we couldn't like fully talk about it. Cause like the Agatha reel hadn't got. So I get out to the parking lot and we're waiting for some friends to catch up with us. I finished the whole thing and then I just started blowing up his phone. I'm like, whoa. And then we had it out. We had a fall out. So Brian and I had this sidebar all pretty much all day and night on Friday. So I know how it feels.
We're going into Rise of the Resistance and I'm like walking into the park going, all right, like somebody I can talk about this with. And he goes, dude, I've only watched like 13 minutes. And I've already, mind you, I've already watched the episode like three times at this point. So yeah. I mean, like I was struggling.
Okay, so Samantha, in my defense, I was just going to defend myself. My goal was to get Rise of the Resistance boarding. Like I was tasked with that for Brian and myself, my wife and our party.
That and I appreciate that. We got group 12. That was
we
wonderful.
Got group 12. So that was my mission. It was WandaVision boarding group, and I knew that it was going to be there. So. And I was successful. So that Samantha, that was my mission. So Brian, go ahead.
To attack your defense, WandaVision dropped 4 hours before the boarding groups started. Like
it did, but I was also Disney. I was also Disney tired.
Disney tired.
That's right.
Hey, Alicia said watch three times by 11:30. I watched it three times before 6 o'clock that morning.
Yeah. Alicia was like, have you seen it? And I was like, that's an understatement. But
yeah.
I have seen a couple of comments pop up. Just a reminder to those of you watching, there's a link in the comments to this video, streamyard.com/Facebook. Go click that link so we can see who's talking to us, because we definitely want to recognize the input that you guys are giving us. But like I said, I mean, rant is an overstatement, but I just want to, and I love the Dislife community, because I kind of got on my soapbox in the middle of last week when everybody was sharing this very stupid picture around the internet that Kevin Feige has confirmed that each of the last three episodes is an hour long each. He never said that. He said that the Disney Plus series are around 6 hours. That's taking him very literally. He never said it. Like, the fist pump that I had when I saw that the episode was only 37 minutes was bad, because I wish the episode was longer, but at the same time, I kind of put myself out there and told everybody not to trust this very ridiculous article that was going around. So, I mean, like I said, I kind of put myself out there, and nobody in this Dislife was too upset with me. So thank you everybody for bearing with me a little bit, but
yeah.
People are too concerned about runtime of this show, the length of the credits, just take what we get and what we can. Mm-hmm. For people to say that they're not living up to what they promised, they never said that the aerospace engineer was Reed Richards. They never said a word about the X-Men. Every time Kevin Feige gets asked about the X-Men, he said they will come in due time when the story plays out for them. That very well could be the end of this series. That still hasn't been decided. But to say you're disappointed because they didn't live up to a promise that they made no such promise. Yeah. So take the series for what it is and appreciate it because it's wonderful. It's amazing.
Yeah, and if I could piggyback off that point specifically, Brian, I've complained to these three guys numerous times in our Marvel Monday chat that the TikTok – I blame the TikTok community for these guys that go on and they make TikToks and they're definitive and they'll say, you know, here's the reasons why. It's absolutely Reed Richards. And then they go on a rant and they're very convincing. Like, I'm not going to say that the TikToks aren't entertaining, but people take those as gospel truth. And listen, their show is much like ours. But we tell you up front, like, we're speculating. We're fans. We're speculating about this. We never say definitively if we're right or wrong. I think that's kind of irresponsible to say that we have all the answers. This show is all about us just fanning out together and throwing out some theories. And I'm the biggest person to be wrong. I'm always wrong. You know, I said like 4 weeks ago.
Ask my
I
put wife. I'm always wrong too.
you guys wouldn't be making bets if you knew the answer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I put a $10 bet on Charles Xavier, and I just conceded with 2 weeks to go. Like, I think it's over.
Yeah.
But you know, like that's Brian. That's the problem. Is the TikTok community is trying to convince the viewership that they are so correct, and they're speculating and saying like this is news, and it's not. Just enjoy. And we said this when Mark was around. He's having some internet issues, so we couldn't get your podcasting partner Mark in tonight. But Mark has kind of said this last week too. Is we've all now come full circle to the phase of let's just enjoy what we get. Let's just enjoy what we get. Don't be disappointed.
Hang on, Derek. I had a big week, man. Like, I had a big week. I mean, I've named that truck, Monica's truck, Reed Richards, because everybody was expecting it to be Reed Richards. So I'm just naming that. That truck is awesome.
That was cool.
I did say tragedy was coming with the twins. Like, I called some of the easiest stuff that was out there. Like, I've also said Wonder Man's coming and all that kind of stuff. Like, that doesn't look promising. But, I mean – just
we still don't know. We got two episodes left. So
yeah. I know, but I mean the aerospace engineer I think some people hold the show responsible because they know what they're doing. Like when they say aerospace, like they know what's gonna happen. They know when X-Men Quicksilver like knocks on the door. And that I'm actually far more open to the X-Men universe being open now, and we'll talk more about that later on. But anyway, yeah. Like
I don't think I've ever felt a comment more than what Samantha just said. If you can pull that one up right there, like Samantha, like slow clap on that. Slow clap on that. TikTok drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. That's why I'm just going to enjoy these last few episodes and take over. Matt, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at now. And I found that since I've done that, I've enjoyed them a lot more.
Definitely. See, I did the opposite. Where I'm at now too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did the opposite this week because I said that I was going to do that last week. And I did do that last week, but this week, man, I went way deeper than I thought I was. Let's get deep. The problem is when I go deep, I like going one direction where there's multiple directions you can go.
That's and how you end up in Wonder Man and Reed Richards and all that. Or in my case, Adam Brashear and Blue Marvel, but that didn't happen either. But
right.
There's plenty of stuff we've said that's just absolutely not going to happen, but that's the fun and the speculation. But I'm very, very excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier so we can just put our reaction caps on instead of just full-blown speculation. So it's going to be fun.
I'm excited about that.
And just a real quick programming note, two things. One, really quick, special thanks to James from Mouse Ears and Magic Podcast, who's running our tech and is moderating our questions for us. Like, it's so amazing. I feel like Pinocchio. Like, I got no strings right now. I'm just having a good old time. James is pulling up the comments. The other thing that with great TikTok, great responsibility. I love that. The other piece that I just want to say is, if you've dropped a comment or if you have a question, we can see all the comments and the questions. We're just going to try to take them in order, which is something we tried last week and it worked really well. So if you have those questions, keep firing at them as we go from sequential order of beginning to end of the episode, because we love taking questions. That's a big part of the show. So save that question. We're going to get to it. We're going to answer all these questions. We promise. And again, if we don't know the answer, to channel our inner Darcy, we'll just say, hey, listen, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, guys, let's get right into it. Let's pull up some of these questions that were generated from the community, stuff that comes into us every single week from Messenger, stuff that people reach out to us over the course of the weekend and say, hey, can you guys really tackle this? But the one of the big ones that we had, and I'm going to throw this one around the horn. Hey, Nuns, how are you? Hey, how you doing, as he says.
How you doing?
Nuns is all – he's my high school and really grammar school friend. I've known Nuns since forever, and he's over at the Swan and Dolphin right now.
Nice.
But one thing that we get is Billy. And, guys, we're going to go around the horn with this one as well. People want to know, why does Billy's head feel weird, noisy? Clearly, it's part of his ability, but everyone wants to know is what's up with Billy and his powers. And then, you know, they stop for a while too. That he comments on the quietness when he gets into Agatha's house. So which Brian,
we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. So Brian from Mouse Ears and Magic, I'm throwing this over to you first, my man.
Yeah, I think we had a little bit of this in our chat that we had today, and we already knew what it was. I mean, everybody in the town is suffering. I mean, we've seen that. Everybody's in pain. And I think he's feeling that pain. He hears it. So, when he gets into Agnes's house, it's different. So I think that's what he's hearing outside. He's hearing everybody's pain. So,
Samantha's jumping on that too, and she's all about that. He's an empath. Yep. You hear everyone else's emotions. So I happen to agree. Brian, you have anything different on that one, or
no, it's exactly what it is, and he hasn't learned how to harness it yet. Wanda to an extent has this ability, but Billy's got it far more strong than stronger. That was horribly grammatically, but that wasn't good either. But yeah, he just hasn't learned how to harness it yet. He's young, and it's coming. But there's a reason he loves Agnes's house, and we'll get to that later on.
Yeah,
I love that scene though of the Wii controller becoming the GameCube controller, becoming the Atari and the Uno cards. Like, that was so much fun.
Then
Billy always yelling at Tommy for always. I got here first. You always get there first, because I mean Tommy's speed. Like, of course he's gonna get there first. So.
Yeah.
That was good. That was all really good stuff. And then we still got the Halloween hangover at the very end. Different kind of Halloween hangover, but that was laugh out loud funny when she was regretting her decision going to bed in her costume.
Yeah, I found that really, really funny when she pulls back the covers and you can see her costume is still on from Halloween. This was a funny episode. And channeling the office. Channeling the office. Channeling
happy
modern,
endings
modern, oh, family, modern family and happy sure. ending yeah
happy endings was the big Wanda because Vision's out of the picture now, like Wanda seeing herself as a singular person, but then happy endings always focused on the word happy, and really good.
So Ethan, did you have any questions about this one, or like what was your take on the noise?
Well no, and I'll be honest, like Brian, you kind of hit it on the head. Like I was curious if, because Billy is so young, and Rob hit it on the head when he said he's only a week old, but I was kind of curious, like, I wonder if this is because he's so young, like he still has yet to sort of harness those abilities that allow him to sort of hear all those thoughts. And my initial thought was, why was it that he could so vividly hear, and maybe it wasn't as vivid as I sort of imagined it, because he still was sort of in visions and moments, but why could he see his father, who biologically he really has no connection to? Why could he see him so clearly, and all these other things that are going on not so much?
I think that to me, Vision was probably in the most pain. He was probably screaming the most at that point in time.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I read it. And he's got some sort of connection to him, even though he doesn't have the biological connection to him. But he does. I mean, they inherited Vision skin. He's made out of vibranium. They have thick skin.
Yeah. I love that line. Hey, James, if you could pull up Samantha for a second, too. I related to what Samantha's saying, where Wanda was really bogus. She was very unlikable in this episode. She was not a very likable character in this episode at all. It was bogus, depression or not. She was hard to like.
Yeah.
And especially when you saw it through Vision's frustration of him just wanting to get home, and then supposedly her blocking him from getting home. Although I have a theory about that. I don't think it was her that was blocking
him. We're gonna talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris, you never drink almond milk in Sanka. That's just a big no-no.
But when Wanda says, if your father doesn't want to be here, then I can't make him be here, when literally 12 hours ago she expanded the hex so he couldn't leave. Like, it's all really, really interesting. But yeah.
So I Piano Rob kind of says this too. He's a week old. More to come with all the, with all these kids. The powers are definitely going to grow. Do they still make Sanka? Frankie, I don't know. Does anybody know?
You know, I read a thing that Sanka was made in Germany. And that was kind of like a throwback to the Sokovian. I just
know that my grandfather drank it, and I think I drank it once, and it's disgusting. I'll never drink Sanka again. It's gross.
Sanka is just the fastest pushcart driver in all the world.
Right.
Sanka, Sanka, hey, Sanka.
You got your lucky egg?
All right, James, let's keep pushing the envelope a little bit and get to that next question. Did you guys catch anything or notice? This is another question we had. Anything special about that theme song that we noticed? I know that we all like to watch with our subtitles on. So, Brian, I'm going to throw this one to you from United We Fan. Go ahead, man. You take this one first.
Subtitles ain't going to help you in this one at all. It had the Office type theme, and it was wonderful. But like I said, it was just the singular Wanda. She's viewing herself singularly. You get the heart on the 10 on the calendar. Like I people are really, really buying into that. I don't think it really means anything. I just think it's an homage to the heart on August 23rd in the first episode. I don't think it's much more than that, but the office music combined with the happy endings visuals, and then the WandaVision logo, it was great. The Modern Family logo.
Let me throw this question again, another TikTok speculation that people have speculated that the opening sequence is Doctor Strange trying to reach out to Wanda via the credits by repeating her name. I thought that was a real stretch. I mean, again, TikTok is...
I don't like that one.
It's really pushing the envelope.
That doesn't hold any water to me.
Because I can't imagine that Wanda can go back and like rewatch these like on, it's Saturday night at 8. Let's go rewatch WandaVision. I don't know.
I think people are just really desperate now at this point. We have two episodes left. They know it's tying into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I think they're looking for anything and everything they can to make that jump now.
Right. I don't buy into that one.
I don't buy it at all.
There's plenty of other things to look at to tie into Doctor Strange that we'll get into. So.
Yeah. Gentlemen, anything else? Go ahead, Brian.
There was that one message in the intro where
I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know what you're doing, Wanda.
The ransom note. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just Agatha. I just think that's Agatha sending a message.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is.
Sorry. Anything else, guys, about the theme song? It seems like we have some real big fan. Jared's psyched about The Office. Jared, also, by the way, I just want to say it was a pleasure meeting you. Jared and I had a chance to talk in the lobby of Coronado. And it was pretty cool. He's like, I recognize that voice, which is either – I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing that I have an unmistakable voice. He says, hey, I recognize that voice. We were all masked.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to sometimes tell with half your face covered. But we hung out. He, Dwayne, and myself hung out for a while. It was awesome, man. It was really
– The one thing I will say about like The Office that kind of got me was I felt like the showrunners were listening to all of us when we said, gee, John Krasinski – you've got Jimmy Woo, the two gyms, like I feel like they were listening to us and saying, oh, we're gonna throw this at them and we're gonna make them really think now.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, frustrated me a little bit.
They led you into that, man. Absolutely. That's what they did.
It's those darn TikTokers.
That's it.
All right, James, let's do the next one. Why isn't Sword able to pick up the broadcast? There's always Sword questions every single week. We have Sword questions. Why isn't Sword able to pick up the podcast? Go, Ethan. What do you think on this one? Do you have anything on this one, bud?
I think, you know, the reason why they were able to pick it up in the first place was because Darcy figured it out. And now that she's gone, they don't necessarily have the same, you know, capabilities. That's sort of the way that I looked at it. But, you know, at the same time, is it some type of blackout because, you know, the hex got bigger? I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I lean on you guys for these types of answers. But, you know, when initially they found the broadcast, Darcy was the one who found it. Now that Darcy's gone, they can't. So, you know, does she play a bigger role in discovering all this? Is she the reason why? I don't know.
I don't think so. I just think Darcy was the one with the right mentality to find it. I think now that they know they're looking for it, I just think those waves literally aren't being given out. And I think it's because Wanda's losing control. I speculated several times that I don't think Wanda was in charge of the broadcast. Now I think it was Wanda's only way of reaching out to the outside world to be, to an extent, saved, because I don't think she knows why this is happening. And now I think the broadcast is just, Wanda doesn't have any more control of the place. I think just Agnes doesn't want to broadcast to the world that she's a 1,000-year-old witch that's just about to do whatever she's about to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was just going to bring up too. I don't think my take on that was now seeing Wanda in, or on, not Wanda, Agatha in the director's chair.
Oh.
It kind of shed light on, I don't think that Wanda was ever in control of the broadcast. I think that this was Agatha, just as the song says, this was Agatha all along, and she's been controlling the TV show and the narrative. And I think that when there are elements that Wanda cannot control, like the stork, we were all speculating that it was Mephisto. Well, here's the stork again this week, and it appears, and then poof, it disappears again. I think that was Agatha just screwing with her, trying to get rid of Monica Rambeau. And that, remember, that whole scene was really tense, just trying to get Monica, you know, in and out of the house. I think the reason that there's no more broadcast is Agatha has literally turned off the tap. That's it. The show is over.
Yeah.
Literally, show is over.
Yeah. There's probably more devious things behind the scenes too that certain people don't want other people to see. So,
well, I mean, you're not going to broadcast from the basement. You know, that's not going to be, it's going to be filtered out.
Agnes may have learned the fact that she could manipulate Wanda. Wanda expanded the hex. Now she knows how to manipulate Wanda. She got what she needed. Now she doesn't need it. She doesn't need it out there.
I'm just trying to remember, were there like end credits to like WandaVision like they normally is? Were there this week? I didn't see any.
Nope.
No. Interesting.
But that wasn't a super common thing in Modern Family either. Like, that's true. Usually was a little black screen with the words across the bottom showing the preview for what's coming on next. I mean,
right. Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
So Dina just said this last week was amazing. I needed more than 30 minutes. Yeah, we all do at this point. We all do at this point. Dina, we were saying before you came in, or maybe you were here, you just didn't chime in, that we all four of us were saying that we're going into a little mini depression at the fact that there are only two episodes left. We're getting so spoiled with it that we want more. All right, James, let's take it to that next question. And, you know, this one was, we all love this one. We talk about her constantly. We share, you know, gifts of her, and we like nine out of 10 of the jokes that we make are Darcy related. But guys, just reaction on this one. How great was sitcom Darcy?
Go ahead, Brian.
She was fantastic. I enjoyed it. The escape artist, and then her just just the wittiness of her, man. She's so funny.
Hey there, creeper.
She cracks me up. Yeah, exactly. Hey there, creeper.
Fine, yeah, I'll go out with you, but I'm getting the lobster.
I'm getting the lobster.
Guys in the comments, yeah, let us know what you think of Darcy. Are we fanning out like way too hard on her? Or do you love Darcy as much as I do? We had a call earlier in the comments for Darcy and Vision driving around in the truck solving crimes.
Ethan, you and I made a connection. I highly doubt that. I'm notoriously self-involved.
That was great.
Derek, I love that. I need to know more about that funnel cake truck. Like, where can I go and get a funnel cake? Will they be at Disney Springs?
Oh, well, that'd be awesome.
Man.
Yeah,
I was a 50s primetime diner, man. Like, retheme that thing.
Oh, I love 50s primetime.
Right?
Yeah.
But another day, down. Another podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
We can have a battle over food places. It's like, what is it? Marry, kill. We could do like
dining But Brian brought it up. Of she was the escape artist. Like, everybody's upset that she wasn't a waitress, like that didn't fit the story. Like it wasn't Two Broke Girls. That's not what they were doing. But you called her the escape artist. Like, could Darcy be the escape artist of the Hex? Like,
yeah,
it could be foreshadowing at that point. But the fact that she could just like rip the chains, like it's a complete illusion. It was amazing.
She shrugged her shoulders and she was out.
Sword guy in the strongman costume. Like, I hate that guy and his greasy hair.
Yeah, I want to get Darcy doing a recap episode because I kind of liked her very to the point, blunt recap of Vision's demise from Endgame or from Infinity War, where she kind of goes through like how he dies and then is resurrected. She gives him the 30,000 foot view. I thought that was great. But listen, I could watch her do anything. I want a Darcy spinoff, period. I don't care if she's partnered up with Jimmy Woo. I don't care if she's partnered up with Vision in a funnel cake truck. Just please give us more Darcy. Agatha seems a little quirky, villain like the Joker or Loki. I think the show is her idea. I don't know how much Nick at Night Sokovia got. Yep.
Yeah.
I think
Wanda grew up on these shows, and that's the whole reason.
Yeah.
And think we're going to get that backstory next week.
And Sebastian, just to let you know too, like, we have a lot of Agatha discussion coming up, like a lot. And I've kind of been given the green light to go and do as deep of a dive in Agatha at land as possible. But we're going to feel the room out to see how much you want to know about Agatha. And then we're gonna set Brian loose.
It's gonna be like that. It's gonna be like that scene in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf falls off the cliff and he's fighting Balrog all the way down to hell. Like, Mark's just gonna be all there by himself.
Yeah, it'll be me.
So I want to bring up this question right quick, just kind of for you guys. Is in this general scene right here, we had Hayward that brought up the fact that they were gonna launch an attack. I didn't see that on any of our questions.
Thank you for bringing that up too. That's a good catch. Yep.
I wanted to bring that up because I'm curious to know what you guys think.
See, I mean, I don't see it as a gigantic plot point, if only just to tick off Wanda and Agatha at this point. Like, I don't think I can't see Sword mustering any kind of attack that's going to really play a prominent role in the plot of this show or even of the film that's going to spin off from it. I think Hayward and his cronies are very much like flies to the power of Wanda and you know these superheroes at this point. I don't think they're a threat at all. I don't think they're a threat.
If you want to put on your tinfoil hat, like, he could have some sort of control over Vision and his sentient weapon, and he could flip him on a dime. Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen. To say Sword's attack is going to be fruitless, maybe the case, but I don't think it's going to be minuscule. I think it's going to have an effect. I think it's what eventually Wanda's going to have to battle to basically end the entire thing to try and save Vision, even though I don't think it's, I don't think it's going to work, but I don't think they tease launching an attack for it to be so so small. So well, I think it's some sort of sentient weapon creation. I think that's all that it.
And there is a line. We can speculate that Wanda's saying it to Vision in that moment, that this is our home, let's fight for it. We don't know how that line, we don't really know what follows that line or what precedes it, but there's supposedly going to be a battle coming soon for the Hex. If I had to guess, I would say that battle's not coming against the forces of evil and the dark dimension. I would say that's a counter push against whatever Sword has planned.
Terrorist.
Yeah. Thank terrorist.
He's something.
Either way, he's still a terrorist. I liked Derek's comment too. We need a show where Darcy and the guy from Ant-Man, that explains everything.
Luis.
We need my cousin's
sister's brother.
Yeah.
Rob brings up a good point. Could be they'd be setting up a minor villain to continue this show into other seasons. I don't hate it.
I don't think this show can exist outside the Hex. And yeah. I think the Hex is gonna come down.
Yeah, I see this as a limited run.
It's gonna have to.
I see it as a limited run. I don't see a lot. Unfortunately, I don't see a lot of the shows this year being recurring seasons.
Loki.
Loki's getting a season two.
Well, rumored that there's a writer hired for season two. So I mean Loki's getting a season two.
But I think that these are gonna be limited runs. All right, James, let's keep going, buddy. Why is everything in the house going backward in time? We talked about this. I don't know the answer to this one, so I'm just going to kick it over to Brian from United We Fan. Why don't you take this one first, bud?
Agatha's screwing with her. Wanda thinks she has control. Wanda thinks she's the one losing control. Agnes is really the one that's causing it, and it's making Wanda spiral and lose her focus on her children, which is how Agatha is able to get her children in the first place.
Yep. Yep. 1,000%.
So
that was what we said the goal was in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Was to get the kids away from Wanda.
Like even my wife didn't listen to me. I said, tragedy's coming. Like the kids are going to disappear or something for at least an episode. And it's happened. I don't think that Tommy is the bug on the curtain or anything, but I think yeah, we'll talk about that when
so without we get
to the greatest theme song of this show.
So without getting too deep into the woods here with this one, guys, do you want to? I'd really like to talk about the kids in the books and how they do disappear, and this is really what descends her into kind of madness in the books. Like, who wants to take that one? Because I think it's important too. Like, everyone seems to say, like, where are the kids? James, do we have a question of, like, where do the kids go? Well, like, what happens?
I don't believe we do.
Okay.
But let's do it. I mean.
Well, earlier we had a question about, like, is there any significance to the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, the half-eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I saw, like, why peanut butter and jelly? But, like, why are the kids disappearing? Is this it? Like, has it happened? Have the kids been absorbed? Like, let's go into that really quick.
The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are simply that's the first time Wanda has thought about her children in 20 minutes or whatever. In the comic, Brian, you want to take the comics? Do you have a good grasp of that, or do you want me to go?
No, go ahead.
So in the comics, the kids are basically projections of her imagination, for lack of a better term. They're real because she has reality warping abilities, but when she stops thinking about them, they literally disappear. They then get wiped from her memory, which House of M, read it if you want to get more into that. But the kids literally, if she's not thinking about them, they disappear. So that could have happened here. But Agnes wanted them. Agnes is their life force in some form or another. So I think that Agnes reabsorbed them. They could literally be in one of those Ursula the Sea Witch bottles that are in that cave, in that dungeon. The boys are gone. Like, they're not just, like, hidden in some cellar. Like, right now, they're gone. Like, they're going to come back. Like, they're not gone forever, but they're gone right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yes, Frankie's absolutely correct. That's a huge deal where they made that they made a big deal of Wanda's twins are hers, like they're real.
Yeah.
But now they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Darcy says to Vision, while she doesn't have the answers about where he came from and how he's in front of her at that moment, she does say like that what you guys have is real. The love you have is real. So that I think that that's something that I think we're all going to be very interested to see if that gets answered in the next 2 weeks, which having faith in Kevin Feige and he always flushes everything out. I think that you're going to get that answer of how has this all happened? Now that we know that Agatha has been in charge, once we peel back the curtain a little bit and get a little bit more of an idea of her powers or if she's solely responsible or if we have other witches that are working to make all of this possible or if there was a deal done with another entity to have all of this, you know, happen, it's real. It exists, but it's not without some deal being struck or some darker force at work. And there's got to be payment extracted for that at some point. And we've said this since the beginning.
Magical M word. You're going to say the magical M word.
That's the kids. That's the kids. You know, a few weeks ago, I would have said 100% it's Mephisto, but now I'm not all that certain that it's going to be Mephisto. And for those of you who haven't been hanging out with us since we started the show, Mephisto is the MCU's version of the devil, of Lucifer. You know, almost literally, that if you take it on its face value, that what we many people in the podcasting realm and in the streaming world have been speculating is that Wanda has made a deal with the devil, literally, to get the world that she wanted, to have children, to have her life with Vision. And I don't know if I necessarily buy that anymore. But again, I wouldn't be shocked if Ralph is Mephisto. I wouldn't.
I'd be shocked if Ralph was real. Like, to be honest. I don't think he exists.
Yeah. Hey, Amy. I thought it was an amazing... Amy from Run Eat Drink is here. She says, hey, you all. If you could bring that up for me, James, from Amy. I thought it was an amazing episode. Sorry we're late. We have to watch it back. No big deal. They say better late than never. If they keep the origin of the kids, it will be Mephisto. Yeah.
They're already messing with Agatha. Like, they're not afraid to mess with the comic books. Like, I would be shocked, like, at this point. I think they sang to us exactly what's going on. Now, the book glows orange. It doesn't glow purple or red, so there could mean something there, but I think as far as this show is concerned, I think Agatha's as far as we're getting.
James is pushing the envelope right now with the book. We're gonna get to the basement. Rob says Pietro jokingly calling the kids Demon Spawn in the Halloween episode as well. That might just be a red herring to throw off all the TikTokers and us. Dina says the fly on the curtain could be Mephisto or could be the devil.
Yeah, fly. It's a cicada.
It was a locust. Yep.
Yeah. Which is more biblical than anything.
I was just gonna say, which has a real deep biblical kind of feel to it, as being, you know, one of the plagues, constant plagues in the Bible. I don't know if it's going to flush out and we're going to get Mephisto, but we're going to dark places, gentlemen. We're definitely going to dark places. But if we're true to the books, like Brian said, those kids are going to get reabsorbed or they've already been reabsorbed. And that's what's going to start Wanda in a descent. I know Samantha, if she's still here, has kind of talked about that in multiple podcasts and streams that she's done, that she says, we're just watching Wanda come apart and we're along for the ride. Hmm.
So. Yeah, she's definitely coming apart.
Well, I think Brian, you said this a minute ago, that's kind of the Agatha's whole point and purpose of this episode is to get her off kilter, and to make her feel like she's losing it. Whether it's she's losing control of her environment or, you know, she's just coming apart at the seams, that is to get her, you know, a kind of at a moment of unease where it's either to get the kid, to pry the kids away, which is what I think, to pry the kids away for a moment, or to really start to take control of the situation. It's a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off. Amy just said, "It's a train wreck." Yeah, it is. I think that's what was. That was.
I lost audio for a second. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
I've never been so invested into a show. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've never been this invested into a show.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We want to keep saying I'm fine. It said a lot in so little words. Frankie, that's just, again, I think a testament to how wonderful she is in this show. She deserves, if not an award, she deserves nominations for her performance in this show. She's that good. I don't know if she'll get it because it's a superhero genre, but she deserves it nonetheless. Did anyone watch all the episode against the Sixth Sense style and notice anything about Agnes that you missed before?
I'm waiting for a full understanding before I even try to do that.
Yeah.
Because I simply got confirmation of who she was. I've been looking for those type of clues all along. So I need to know more what's going on before I actually try to go back full Sixth Sense style. But we gotta get going. We're like 47 minutes in and we haven't even talked about the commercial yet.
All right. So guys, Project Cataract. What was Project Cataract? Brian, we told you
what it was. Yep. Hayward wanted a sentient weapon back. I mean, and they didn't exactly waste any time telling you what it was. His Vision is the sentient weapon, and he's all that Hayward cares about. It seems like he leaked this information to Wanda because he couldn't get him to come back alive. So the reason Wanda ever showed up at S.W.O.R.D. in the first place is because somebody leaked that he was in there, and Hayward got exactly what he wanted.
Well, they just invited her. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, they could have just invited her over. Hey, come on over here. Check this out.
Check it out.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we don't know what their plan is other than they need this sentient weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yep.
All right, James, let's keep going, bud. So we see a few people that are loyal to Monica and to Maria. And the line is, you know, basically your mom's not the only one that we're loyal to. I have nothing on this one. I didn't put much stock into that line. Did any of you?
I did. I think there's a ton there because everybody's worried about S.W.O.R.D. becoming the next S.H.I.E.L.D. and being infiltrated. People spent the last 5 years under Hayward still doing the right thing and keeping S.W.O.R.D. intact and being loyal to Maria and Monica. And I think that loyalty is what's going to keep S.W.O.R.D. around even when Hayward's gone. So I think that that's a big giant deal. So everybody can rest easy on we're just replaying the whole Winter Soldier S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra infiltration. S.W.O.R.D.'s a bunch of good people who are trying to do a lot of good and Hayward just sucks.
Yeah. See, this is why I love this group is because everybody's got a different point of view on this. And that you hit the nail right on the head, buddy.
Well, everyone knows that Hayward's a bad actor. Everyone kind of knows that he's a terrorist, you know.
Well, he's a good actor.
Yeah,
because I hate him.
All right, James, let's keep going, man. Let's get to the commercial. What was that? Very, very funny commercial, by the way. Those pharmaceutical commercials are always very funny, especially when they do the side effects. You know, like I'm surprised.
I wish this one had more side effects, like
and less. Well, there was no. Listen, there was no anal leakage, which is a good thing. almost
every. You just went right for it. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Hey, it's late night. We could say that, but almost every single one of those the real life pharmaceutical ones has like anal leakage. That's like one of the side effects. I was like, they should have just thrown in anal leakage just to make it funny. But go ahead, Ethan. Why don't you talk about the commercial at first? Again, I don't know if you know anything about the Nexus or whatnot, but.
I don't. So the way that I've been trying to look at these commercials lately is the way that Brian put it last week and probably the week before, too, because I was on this kick of, I wonder if these have anything to do with the Infinity Stones. And you know, I'm just trying to watch these commercials as if they are just a testament to the cries of Wanda and how difficult her life has been and how difficult things are and all of that. I haven't really bought anything else other than that since we had that conversation last week. And this one, you know, it was a very true to sort of the commercials that we see today, you know, other than anal leakage.
Minus anal leakage.
That's right.
And exactly. Amy, too, my whole goal, my purpose in life is to fill James's Roadcaster with all kinds of sound bites, just random stuff that Aaron Mouse hears in magic, he can pull up. Now, like, who would have thought in a million years that now he's got a sound bite that's just me talking about anal leakage?
That's it. Go ahead. I think Frankie's correct. I don't think we're ever going to get a full-blown explanation. We may get it in an interview when the series is over, but we're not getting it from the show.
Yeah, that's a good point. Brian, go ahead. Tackle the commercial for me from United We Fan.
Brian, do you want to go before I read?
Can I say what the Nexus stands
Please
for?
Please do.
It's Please a cross-dimensional do. Gateway. And the Marvel Comics.
Which provides a pathway to any and all possible realities. This includes realities between realities. It is unknown whether it was created by a being or if it's just one place in the entire multiverse where realities naturally intersect.
Mm-hmm.
So Nexus, this commercial, it's again Wanda, a cry for help of I mean, side effects include feeling your feelings, confronting your truth, seizing your destiny, possibly more depression. Like, it's even in the, if you turn on your subtitles, when we're talking about the milk carton that's reverting back in time, you can hear the news from WNDA and they're talking about, we hope everybody got home safe on Halloween and all of that. And we'll tell you how you cannot eat all your Halloween candy or do whatever you want. Like, Wanda, it's still very much she can have whatever she wants because the world doesn't revolve around you, or does it? But the fact that it's called Nexus gives us a big clue into what's going on, because we just talked about that cross-dimensional gateway. But if you'll indulge me for a minute, I want to talk about what Nexus beings are, because I think that's where we're headed. So
that's where we're
Nexus
headed.
Beings are rare individual entities with the ability to affect probability and thus the future, thereby altering the flow of the universal time stream. These beings, each referred to as a nexus, act as the keystone of the multiverse and are crucial in the ultimate coherence and stability. Nexus beings are vigilantly watched over by cosmic forces such as the Time Variance Authority, aka Owen Wilson in the Loki series, to be aware of any temporal changes that the nexus may cause to the time stream and act accordingly. Basically, what that means is any Nexus being can exist in any of the realities. Wanda can jump from any multiverse, and she will always be Wanda. My personal theory is Agatha Harkness is not her comic book self. She's more taking on the... Now, there's a run from 1994. I apologize, I don't know the authors, but there's a 4-issue run of The Scarlet Witch where the main villain is Lore. Lore is a Nexus being that is jumping from multiverse to multiverse, and she literally has to consume that multiverse's Nexus being in order to then live within that reality. I think, especially with all the purple that we're getting from Agatha, that she's kind of more becoming Lore rather than Agatha Harkness, and the only way she can live in this reality currently is because she is living within Wanda's hex. Each of the Nexus beings has a different type of magic as well. So Wanda has hex powers and lore, and in this case, Agatha Harkness, necromancy, the dark magic. So I think that the end game here is Agatha is trying to consume Wanda so she can live within this reality and consume this dimension just as she has done in other places. Now, this is why I think the X-Men thing is actually back on the table, because I think she brought him over from the X-Men universe. But I think we're going to get more of an understanding as that goes. But I think Agatha and Wanda are both Nexus beings, and I think that we're going to hear that word a lot more in Phase 4.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that this is going to lead into the Multiverse of Madness, you and I were talking about, you know, Nexus beings today. I kept sending you, you were like, man, how many articles are you going to throw at me? But I sent about 3 or 4 articles that talk about Nexus beings. And I mean, we've talked about her powers. We started the first week talking about the chaos magic and her powers, that they're the keystone to so much more. And she's been targeted by outside forces because of her great power, because of the fact that she's also probably easily manipulated. And she's
vulnerable.
Yeah, she's vulnerable. And I got the question from somebody. They said, well, you know, like, why now? Listen, a few days ago, she just put on an ultimate display of power and almost ended Thanos. If not for Thanos raining fire, she would have ended him. So I think it's not a coincidence that almost immediately after that fight, she gets identified by Agatha as the Nexus being for this dimension, for Earth 616. And now she's been targeted because of that ability. And it's not funny to think that almost immediately after these forces go to work to take her and to use her powers and abilities to get this plan underway.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. We have three Nexus beings in this episode. If Agatha Harkness is what you say, lore, Vision, Wanda, and Agatha.
Yeah. I wouldn't think Vision would be considered a Nexus being in this particular MCU. Well, Vision was a Nexus being in the comics. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is Monica not a? Oh, wait a minute. We haven't got.
Let's go ahead because I mean, let's do this one right now.
Yeah, let's do this one. Yeah,
let's do this one. I mean, it's just a reaction.
She's amazing. She's amazing. I actually did bite a kid once, and the look she gives the look she gives the camera when Billy tells her that she's quiet, like. How do you tell a 10-year-old that his mom's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Like, she's amazing. Like, yeah. She lives in the sitcom reality. Like, she's the best character on Parks and Rec. Like, I love her so much. Like, this entire show, she's incredible.
Mm-hmm. She is.
Listen, we've known since week one. In the very first episode that we did, we said straight away, it's not like it was a shock when she revealed at the end of the episode to those of us who've been paying attention that she was Agatha Harkness. But the payoff wasn't diminished because she was that good in this episode, and that montage, that monsters inspired montage at the end, it slaps. It just slaps. More Catherine Hahn in the MCU, please. Yes, Frankie. Yes.
Yeah, I thought that conversation between her and Billy was very meaningful when she leaned over and said, "Penny, for your thoughts." Mm-hmm. She wanted to know what he was thinking at that point in time. Yep. She wanted to know what he can hear, what he was feeling. So,
well, I was, and I said this earlier, I was really invested in that moment, not just from her saying to him, "Penny, for your thoughts," but him responding, "I like it here. It's quiet. You're quiet on the inside." Yep. And it was on the inside that then led me to go like, wow. Uh-oh. Okay, what's going on here?
She's the one person in this town that's not crying for help because she's exactly where she wants to be. And that's true. I've said that before, but she's the only one, and she's got some sort of spell on her house where that won't have to matter. But I love the dig of you're quiet on the inside because you're not quiet on the outside. Yeah. Like, that's amazing.
Yep. Patrick says, Agatha all along, definitely a bop, as the kids say these days. Yep. Listen, we're all about using the lingo of kids. Alicia will tell you if she's still here. I use things I should not use all the time, whether it's got that drip or on fleek. Those kind of things should not be coming out of my mouth. Yeah, they should not be coming out of my mouth, but we'll say them nonetheless. All right, so let's get to Monica Rambeau. And this was another one that we kicked around. Articles were flying all over the place. My good friend Ernie, who's probably going to watch us on replay, he told us, "Hey man, I want you to talk about Monica. I'm probably going to watch it on replay because I got to get the kids showering and in bed." But he reached out to me on Friday to talk about Monica Photon, her time as Captain Marvel in the books. Everyone is really fascinated. Everyone's really fascinated with Monica. I hope you get a full view of Agatha's witch costume. We got a bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as it, you don't get to see the full one, Frankie. I like it. It faded up. We only get to see really the bottom part of the dress, and then it almost instantly fades up to her in the 50s holding the plant. And that face was, again, how good is she? How good is she? Fantastic. All right, let's get I digress. Let's get to Monica, boys. Who wants to start us off with? I'm really excited about the genesis of Monica Rambeau, and as Brian will tell you, Photon.
I would love to take this. Her going into the Hex and going through the, no pun intended, spectrum of all the different, from Geraldine to from Little Monica. Like, they put Little Monica's face side by side with Tiana Paris. Like, you see how good of a job they did in casting both of those particular characters. And you get all this when you grow up and glow like Auntie Carol. Like, she's literally going to glow. She could become Spectrum. I mean, that is a comic book name. I am 100% all in on her mom's call sign of Photon. Her powers, she can turn into any type of energy, including light, electricity, microwaves, radio waves, ultraviolet waves, gamma rays, or lasers. She can travel at the speed of light and fire blasts of whatever type of energy that she becomes. So you see when her eyes are blue, you see what she's seeing. She's seeing all the different energy of what's inside the Hex and everything that's happening. She's able to channel that energy. And basically, I mean, we've all seen it where I can't remember the movie right now, but you can travel through the wire. Like, it's like Rescuers Down Under or whatever, where you can travel through the telephone wires and stuff like that. Like, she can channel all these different types of energy. And we saw just a little bit of it when she does her superhero landing.
Good call, Patrick.
Glowing blue eyes are amazing. She's amazing. Like, I'm so excited about Monica Rambeau. It was the perfect origin story.
Yeah, absolutely. Did anybody else get goosebumps when she was breaking through and her eyes, when it all came together and her eyes turned blue?
That scene visually is incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so fantastic.
One of the unexpected things that I think we got from the series was her backstory, was the genesis and the birth of her as a super. And it was, again, aside from everything else that we're getting, that to me has been like the cherry on the top of a sundae, is that this is the genesis of her. She's going to be in Captain Marvel 2. She's going to play prominently in that film. So Ernie didn't, we don't have this question, but Ernie asked it. Do you think the chances are that she takes on the mantle of Captain Marvel, or do you think that one's going to be reserved for Brie Larson for a while?
I think it's going to be either Photon or Spectrum at this point. Right now in the comic book, she's Spectrum, but we know how they do. So it's probably going to be Photon. If I had to guess, I don't think she's going to be Captain Marvel.
Not anytime soon.
Does anyone know how many films Brie Larson's on in contract for? Seven?
No. She's only two in.
So she's got five. Wow.
Yeah. Depends on how much she's in Ms. Marvel. Like, that could potentially qualify. I doubt it does. We don't know that for sure, that it's seven, but that's the best educated guess out there on the internet.
So Matt just said the voices in her head, was that just from Captain Marvel as she was breaking through?
It was actually from multiple people.
It was her mom. It was mom. Nick Fury. It was all memories. It wasn't like legit in the moment words.
That was a good time for me with the subtitles on to just read that scene. I watched it with the subtitles and then I played it back to get the visuals again.
Yeah.
Cause it's just visually, it's amazing.
I watched it four times with the subtitles and then four more times without the subtitles just to get the full effect.
And Piano Rob just said they're not going to add another Captain Marvel with Ms. Marvel also coming. I mean, you could potentially have three women in the MCU simultaneously who in the books.
They're all in the same movie.
Who've donned the title of Captain Marvel. So I don't think they would confuse the issue that much. So Ernie, I think the answer to your question is no, she's not going to be Captain Marvel for the foreseeable future.
The thing about Monica is that she has a lot of aliases. So it could be any of them at this point. I mean,
she has a lot of powers too.
Yes, she does.
I that's what I'm really excited about is, you know, she doesn't even realize what she's capable of at this point. She just did the superhero landing, and then when she lands, when Wanda is holding her up and she lands again, you can see the power start to ignite and her eyes glow again.
Yeah, because she's awesome, and that's not what's important at this point in time.
Like, no,
that's right.
She's only thinking about how to save Wanda and how to save these people. She's that's amazing. True.
Yeah, guys. Just again, we're gonna go a little bit. We're gonna go a little bit deep tonight. We're at about an hour and six. If you're enjoying, you know, just let us know. Thank you for everyone who hangs with us. We've got the big one last. We're coming up on the biggest one. Matt wants to know real quick who's winning the battle, Wanda or Photon? Mike,
come on, dude. Yeah.
Well, right now it's Wanda because I don't think Photon knows what power she has. I don't think that she's even started to realize and actualize what power she has. That's not going to be Matt. I don't think that's a showdown you're going to get in this series.
I think you'll see. I think you'll see the extent of her powers, and I think she's going to be fighting alongside Wanda.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. James, let's get deep into it. We have one or two more before we really get into Agatha. Why is Wanda trying to stop Vision from getting home? Gentlemen, do you mind? Can I
do it?
Go for it.
To be blunt and frank, I don't think that Wanda is trying to stop Vision from getting home. I think that's 100% Agatha Harkness, who you now realize is in firm control of the narrative. She, in my opinion, she's the director of the TV show. You see her sitting in the director's chair, that she has been in charge of this all along. Vision being away is allowing her to manipulate the situation exactly where she wants. She has Wanda right where she wants her. She's off kilter. She's vulnerable. She doesn't have Vision. She feels like she's losing control of the hex. She's losing control of her powers. She's questioning her reality. She's an emotional mess. Vision's not there to help her and provide her with any kind of emotional stability. I don't think, and unless anyone in the panel disagrees with me, I don't think that Wanda has anything to do with keeping Vision away.
No, nope. She wants him home. She would love to have him home. Are you kidding?
Yep.
Well, she reaches across the bed to feel for him.
Yep.
Which is not something you would do if you've expelled him from your life and are trying to actively keep him away. So I don't think she's trying to do that. Again, I think that Vision, I don't think Vision has an understanding of what's going on.
The entire Vision mockumentary stuff, and James, I know you have it at the ready. If you could pull up my picture of Vision, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like doing the Jim Halpert stare into the camera, it was perfect. Like I just, him coming to this realization of, oh, like Wanda does care about me, like learning everything from Darcy. And then the light turns green, the kids start crossing the street, and he just gives that look into the camera. Like it was perfect. Like he scratches his head, even though he's a synthesoid. Like it's amazing. And when he pulls the mic off of his lapel, like everything about mockumentary Vision was incredible. What am I doing? Like, and then he just flies through the ceiling and she's like, oh, I'll meet you there then.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I love his accent.
Yeah.
I just love it. I don't know why, but I always have. He's got a good smooth voice, man.
All right, James.
In The Knight's Tale.
And yep.
He was
phenomenal in that.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, James, let's do it. Boom. Hit us with it. The big one. Gentlemen, it was Agatha all alone. That song slaps.
That's a good one.
It's a great song. Inspired obviously by the Munsters. You can even see with the titling of the Agatha All Along done in the style of the Munsters titling. Really amazing stuff. This was the moment we waited for tonight to talk about Agatha Harkness, to talk about her comic book counterpart. We've already gotten a little bit into the blurring of her power, that they may be combining her with another character from the books. We don't know. It would be great. But Brian, I'm going to throw this to you first for Mouse Ears and Magic. So let's get into the reveal. Let's get into who Agatha Harkness is. And again, for those of you at home, guys, let us know in the comments how deep you really want us to go into the weeds with this. because we could really break down Agatha Harkness very deep and talk about what may be. But again, we don't know. It may just be an inspiration for what we actually get. We're not going to say that she's going to come purely out of the books, but let us know how deep you want us to go with Agatha Harkness in the comments. Let us know how far you want. Frankie says, let's go into the weeds. So Brian,
already here for it.
Yeah. So Brian, go ahead. Hit us with, tell us, for those people who don't know who Agatha Harkness is, we've been speculating since week one. Not a shock to those of us who've been into the books. Even Ethan may not have known in week one, but now he's been hearing us talk about Agatha Harkness now for weeks. So let's hit them with, you know, someone's coming in at Marvel Monday for the first time. Who is this Agatha Harkness? Let's break it down for people.
Agatha Harkness is an ancient being. Like, she's over 10,000 years old. Like, she's they kind of call her out in the comics that she was around 500 years before the sinking of Atlantis, which was over 10,000 years ago, or 10,000 years ago. So she's been around for a long, long time. And if you want to go to, like, into the comic books, you really can at this point. Like, I see Brian's point of view on this, because in the comic books, she is Wanda's mentor. We're not seeing that here. She's also, I think she, maybe she debuts, I don't know, in Fantastic Four.
She does.
She, you know, she's kind of around, but she has a connection with Wanda, and you see that, and that's why she's in this show. And I really like Brian's point of view as far as lore and Agatha being kind of combined. I think that could be a very good possibility, as well as, you know, a lot of people want to see Mephisto. But I really don't think that they're going to do that. They could combine him with somebody else too, if that's still on the table. But at this point, I'm not seeing that. But Agatha is, she's an ancient being. She was in the Salem witch trials. And the New Salem, which is in Colorado, and kind of like the Wakanda, you have to have special powers to be able to get into this place. So, I don't know, Brian. Take it, buddy. I
want to hear Ethan. We haven't heard Ethan in a while. Like, I want to see how he.
I'm just taking this all in, and the thing that I've been thinking about as I've heard you guys talking is we've got two episodes left, and really no set discussion on whether or not there's a season two. So I feel as though these next two episodes have to tie everything in to just really ultimately make everything sort of stick, make everything understandable. I sort of feel like we need to know who the next big bad is. And while I don't necessarily feel as though it's Agatha, I am curious how it will tie into this whole universe right now as it sits. Because if it's the last season, we have to come to some type of conclusion. And right now, I haven't necessarily felt as though we've reached a point in the story where, and maybe Agatha is that point, but I just feel like we haven't had something sinister to really close out, you know, a true comic story, mm-hmm. you know, the good guy, bad guy type of thing. So if Agatha's the bad guy, we've got to determine that and resolve that in some way, shape, or form in the next two episodes. So I just don't know how that happens unless the next two episodes are either really long or very informative. And it may even be to a point where the next two episodes are going to be somewhat disappointing because we're trying to tie everything so quickly because there's not a second season. So that to me is where I don't know.
Brian, would you mind me going first and then you can tell me how wrong I am?
Oh, absolutely. No, okay. No, absolutely.
Because to piggy,
be nice.
I want to piggyback exactly off of what Ethan said. I agree with everything that you said. I don't think that you're going to get a resolution. What I think, and again, Brian's going to tell me I'm wrong, but my opinion is that Agatha is going to be a gateway to much bigger things. And that's because of James. If you can bring up the book that we see in the basement at Agatha's house, which I will speculate. And again, Brian's going to tell me that I'm probably wrong because it has been used in another show, that I think that this is the Darkhold, which is also known as the Book of Sins or the Book of Spells. So it's an ancient spell book. It has unspeakable power. The book is made of dark power, dark matter, which comes from another dimension, a hell dimension. So it gives basically whoever reads out of this book, it gives them immeasurable power, which is very MO for Agatha Harkness. And it allows her to accomplish an ultimate goal, to build a reality, to build items. It gives them an unnatural ability to which they can harness the power and the energy from other dimensions. Kind of like we saw in the first Doctor Strange, where there are ancient relics that are imbued with power that can open up portals to the dark dimension. Again, Brian may tell me that I'm wrong, but we've seen that purple hue, that purple power before in the first Doctor Strange with the disciples of Dormammu having that purple energy and that purple magic. So knowing that this is leading into the Multiverse of Madness in a Doctor Strange film, Ethan, what I think and what I would tell you is, and I'm probably wrong, is that we are going to get, again, an assault by the dark dimension, the forces of the dark dimension upon the Earth, to which Doctor Strange will respond. I don't know if Wanda is going to be an ally in that fight or if she's going to start out as a bad. But what I would speculate is that this is leading in, that Agatha is opening up a portal to a much bigger evil. And I think that that's what we're going to get by series end. Brian's going to tell me I'm completely wrong, and that's why I love this show.
No, I don't disagree. Whether it's the Darkhold or whether it's another book, there's many different books that it could be. And simple fact of the matter is the MCU is never going to be as expansive as what the comic books are. So you take seven different things from the comic books and you all make them all one. Like, you could absorb a bunch of different books from the comics and make them all one. The Darkhold was a specific storyline within Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That doesn't mean it's not on the table, but it also means it might be off the table. So to Ethan, answer your question, we're going to get resolution. Like, that's absolutely going to happen. I don't think they're going to leave us sitting on the edge of our seat for however long it takes. Hopefully Doctor Strange comes out next March like it's supposed to. I think if it was literally going to lead into Doctor Strange 6 weeks before, like it was originally slated to do, then I would have been more of the, like I said a couple weeks ago, I flipped on Wanda being a bad guy in Doctor Strange 2. So from the standpoint of, you're going to get resolution, you're going to get resolution within the story that we've been told.
Yeah.
Now look, and I will say, we don't need the big bad yet, because I think Agatha's proven to be a fairly good villain, especially. And I mean, that's, everybody keeps pointing back to the comic books of Agatha never was, I think it was Sebastian said, she never really is the villain. If anything, she helps her or helps Wanda. Like, we're past that, man. Like, she killed Sparky and she enjoyed killing Sparky. Like, she's not a good person. So I think we're going into that phase four where the comics are simply serving as inspiration and nothing else. So let me take, the best way I can answer your concern, Ethan, is look at Avengers. Who was the big bad in Avengers?
Like Loki.
The answer is Thanos.
Okay.
You didn't know Thanos was the big bad of the Avengers.
That's true.
Until the post-credit scene. So yeah. Loki, you're correct. Loki was the villain of the Avengers.
But there was a bigger.
Think of Agatha as Loki.
Gotcha.
And there's something bigger pulling the strings that we may or may not find out at the end of the show. As it relates to this particular show, Marvel's not stupid. You're going to get resolution. Mm-hmm. If it turns out Wanda's a villain, okay. Like, but I don't think you have Monica already tell Wanda the difference between you and Hayward is Hayward's going to burn this place to the ground, and you know that I'm an ally, and mm-hmm. Wanda's trying to convince herself that maybe she is the villain. Like, Wanda doesn't even necessarily believe it. She's really questioning herself. And that entire conversation between Monica and Wanda is incredible. And we didn't get to spend a lot of time on it. But I think you're going to get resolution within the show. I hope that resolution doesn't necessarily land with the death of Catherine Hahn, like, because I want to see her character continue on. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get resolution within this show. But I think they've told us who the quote unquote bad is of this series. And I think it's Agatha. I think anybody still waiting for Mephisto, Nightmare, anything like that. It's late in the game, man. Like,
a little too late. Yeah.
I think Agatha's our big bad. Now, why is she acting and what she's doing? It's going to be the first 10 minutes next week. We're going to get a full blown Dr. Doofenshmirtz monologue of what's going on. And, and why she's doing what she's doing. I think that when Wanda blasted Pietro about how your dead husband can't die twice, I think that knocked Pietro out of whatever spell he was under from Agatha. I think he's coming around. I think Pietro, Monica, and Wanda are going to be a thing together. Hmm. Vision's obviously going to show up as well, but we're going to get a monologue real quick and find out what Agnes is up to. Hmm. But I think of a big bad for the whole thing being more encompassing, like Thanos, because we've got our Loki and that's Agatha.
Gotcha.
Brian, I don't see, if you disagree with me, just let me know. I don't see a big bad coming out of this early phase either. I just don't see them peeling back and giving, whether it's Kang or.
If for no other reason, it's because everybody's looking for it. Like, we didn't get Thanos until Avengers, what, the sixth movie?
Yeah.
We got a Herald here is what we got.
Yeah, we gotta lay the groundwork, because especially if the big bad is Kang, like, Kang's not coming until Quantumania. Like, we got a while.
Which would make a lot more sense if the sequence of events between Loki and this and the time variance coming in, leading up to then us getting introduced to Kang, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Let us know in the comments too, like, what your thoughts are. Who do you think, and I'm just curious, who do you think the payoff is? Who do you think the big bad is going to be for phase four and beyond?
I think it's
Kang. I'm just curious. I think it's Kang too.
Kang, and he's another Nexus being. Mm-hmm. So it's all tying together.
Yeah, and the actor playing Kang is Jonathan Majors. He's incredible. Like, I'm super, super excited about Jonathan Majors joining the MCU. But when we get a post series post credit scene after the ninth episode, and we told you last week, watch until the WandaVision logo comes off and the TV turns off, because we got a post credit scene this week, and I think that has to do with the 2000s era as well. But I think the Time Variance Authority is going to come into play in the next couple of weeks. I think we'll get a tease for Loki, because Loki also leads into Doctor Strange 2, I think, because of the TVA. But I think if from our post-credit scene after the series is completely over, I think it's one of two things. I think it's Wanda and Doctor Strange talking to each other about something, or it's Monica going to see Kamala Khan and Ms. Marvel. I think those are one of the two things that we get out of this series. I don't think you're going to get a Thanos Rai smile like we got.
No. Yeah, I agree with you. It's way too early to get a Kang, a cameo from him. No way.
He's been cast for a reason, but I don't think it's going to be now.
Yeah.
So,
well, gentlemen, listen. Another fine episode.
Yes, indeed.
This one was fun. What's your strategy going into Friday? Are you gonna sit and enjoy it, or you know, what's your attitude going into the last two episodes? What do you think we're getting too?
For me, I just want to continue to try to just enjoy it. Like I've said before, this has captivated even my wife. So it's been fun to sort of talk Marvel and talk about that with her. So overall, it's been an awesome show. Like, I've got nothing bad to say about it. So I, like I said, the next two episodes, I think, will be very telling on how the rest of the universe will sort of work out. And I don't think, and I don't want to dive too far deep into this, but I don't think that Winter Soldier and the Falcon, I don't think that that's going to be any tie-in to this. I think it'll be very separate, but mm-hmm. I'm excited for that too. So it'll be fun to sort of jump into more Marvel, which I think is the best part that's coming out of this for sure.
We'll be ready here too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, when you talk more Marvel, they announced this week we're getting Marvel Studios Assembled, which is like Disney Gallery for The Mandalorian and behind-the-scenes stuff that we got for The Mandalorian, which was really good, especially for season one. But we're getting on March 12th, we're getting 4 episodes of Marvel Studios Legends to get us ready for Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we're getting Sharon Carter, Zemo, Falcon, and Bucky. And then we're also getting Marvel Studios Assembled on the making of WandaVision. So it's going to be new Marvel Studios content every single week this year. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, gentlemen, I enjoy this every single week. I appreciate all of you to hang out and to nerd out with me, as Piano Rob said. And when we had him on, look at these nerds.
Yeah.
You are my nerds. You're my kind of people. And listen, thank you for everyone who hung out with us in the comments. Let us know what you think of the show. Give us some feedback. Thank you so much for fanning out with us here on Mondays. We really appreciate talking Marvel with you guys. We've got a big year of Marvel. Thank you, as always, to my panelists. Thank you to Ethan. Thank you to Brian from Mouse Ears and Magic. And I can't do it without my co-host, the guy that's always riding shotgun with me, Brian with a Y from United We Fan. Mark, we missed you. If you're watching this on replay, when you get the internet back, we missed you this week, buddy.
We sure did.
I can't wait to see you again next week. And gentlemen, I'm excited for these last 2 weeks. Thank you to James, who's backstage, has been a great moderator and bringing up comments for us. Round of applause for you. And guys, Excelsior, have a wonderful week ahead. Let's get to Friday. And as always, we do it
for the children.
For the children.